Welcome to Unpacking with Jennifer. I'm your host, Jennifer Sattell. This is the podcast where we get real about all the things, from raising kids and managing family life to balancing work, endless activities, and somehow keeping your home organized through it all. As a mom and a professional home organizer, I know firsthand how overwhelming it can be. But here's the thing, organization isn't just about pretty containers and tidy shelves. It's about creating systems that work for your busy life, so you can spend more time enjoying your family and less time searching for lost shoes. Each week, we'll dive into everything from decluttering your home to simplifying your schedule, handling the chaos of kids' activities, and finding that elusive balance between work and family life. Because let's be honest, we are all trying to figure it out. So if you're ready to unpack the mess, both inside and out, let's jump into this week's episode. Welcome back to another episode of Unpacking with Jennifer. But really quick, please click the like, subscribe, and follow button so that way you get notification when a new episode drops. I have a super special guest, my husband, David Sattell. Yay, David, say hello.
Hello, special guest.
David, are you so excited that yesterday or 2 days ago I got my social security card with my new last name?
I am ecstatic. I think it's about time. I think you've waited long enough. Your daughter doesn't understand why that you don't have the same last name as I do.
Why?
And she has the same last name as I do.
Why did you just throw me under the bus and then slowly clump clump over it?
Well, because this is how we work.
Yes, it came so fast. They said 7 to 10 days, and it was like 3 days. It was very exciting. Now and I really can get the ball rolling. Now I have to go to the stupid DMV where I have PTSD.
But you built yourself up to be like, I'm going to go to the Social Security office, and it's going to be a shit show. And was it a shit show?
No, David, it was not.
Not everything's a shit show, Jennifer.
Most things are, David. Most public buildings where you have to go and sit and make an appointment are shit boxes dipped in more shit. Are you so excited to be talking to me today?
I am.
I'm really excited. I'm super excited. A lot of people know our history that I've mentioned before, but do you want to say your version of our history?
Village Christian, 5th grade, 4th grade. 6th grade, no history from 7th to 12th, except for maybe a football game here and there that we'd see in passing. And then 20 years later at a little Facebook connection reunion, and the rest is history.
The rest is history. You know what's so funny is, I don't know that I've mentioned this part, is I was on Facebook, and I happened to be at my mom's visiting, and all of a sudden it popped up of people you may know, and it said David Sattell. And I believe I messaged him in Facebook Messenger, and he told me, my cousin just signed me up for Facebook like yesterday. It was like a day or two before. So that's why I had never seen him, but for some reason.
Well, how that got started is I didn't want to be on Facebook. I didn't want to be on any part of social media. All I've heard is bad stuff. So long story short, I told my cousin I was in Tampa, Florida. I'm going to go take a shower and then we're going to go play golf. And when I came out of the bathroom, he had a Facebook account set up for me with the original name of Betty Crocker Jr. that then got deleted to my name.
What was Betty Crocker Jr.?
I have no idea.
Oh, because you don't cook. So it's definitely not in reference to that.
Just in the sheets, baby.
You're so stupid. You're so lame. I'm embarrassed for you. Okay, so we reconnected in Eagle Rock.
The Black Boar.
Which I don't think is there anymore, is it?
I don't know.
Okay. So
it's about how often we go out drinking.
Exactly. We don't do it anymore, except secret fireball shots in the garage when I'm going to crack. We go to this Facebook like meetup thing because it was around the holidays. So a lot of people were in town or whatever. And I walked in the bar and you were there already.
I was.
Had I been drinking?
Yes. A lot.
Well, that hurt. I felt I was not a lot.
I think the people that you were with were also drinking.
True story.
A lot.
That's also a true story. But we had such a good time.
We did.
It was nice to talk to you. It felt very comfortable, didn't it?
Well, it does when you know somebody, even though you haven't seen them in 250 years.
Yeah, I felt like it wasn't 250 years, though. I felt like it was just like a couple years that we hadn't talked, even though it had been a while. It felt very easy, like Sunday morning.
It was easy.
Like Sunday morning?
Just like Sunday morning.
So good. Okay, so we reconnect there. And you happen to be going, I think, to your... I was already in San Diego for the break, for the holiday from work, and you were at your sister's, who's also down kind of the border area of San Diego. So you had come down like that same week, I think, and we ended up just like talking. And we did one of those things where you just sit and talk for like 5 hours. I remember.
We sat on the couch.
We sat on the couch at your sister's and we're just talking for like 5 hours, just about everything and anything, right?
Yeah. And prior to that, we were at a little Irish bar.
Oh, yeah. Top of the morning to you.
Yeah. And that's where I learned about SoundHound.
What's that?
Where you can put up that app when there's music playing in the background to find out who the artist is.
Is that I thought it was ShamWow.
Well, there's that one too.
Or ShamZooey or something.
Shazam,
not ShamWow. That's the thing that absorbs the water when you need it. So stupid. Okay. I'm laughing because I totally messed it up. It is, I didn't know about SoundHound. Anyways, that's what you remember of that night? Not that we were sitting there like totally having a good conversation. You remember SoundHound?
Yeah, because then I could hear any music I wanted to at any point in time by just opening up that app and figuring out who it was.
Okay. All right. All right. All right. So I was living in San Jose.
Jose?
San Jose, where I lived in this apartment. It was... And this was like 12, no, this was longer than that. This was like 15 years ago, maybe, when I first got the apartment. And back then, it was the only thing I could afford, and it was like an older apartment building. But actually, the apartment itself was actually pretty big. And there was this guy, and I would tell David when we started, because we kept talking. We just kept talking, but obviously it was long distance. But there was a guy across from me, and he would just stand out all day and smoke.
Smokey Joe.
So I named him Smokey Joe. And then there was a squirrel in the tree above me that he would come and visit, and we named him Squirrely. So when David came to visit me finally, after like 170 years of not, he got to meet both Squirrely and Smokey Joe. And he really was Smokey Joe. That guy smoked 1,000. Every time I was home, every time anything, even late at night, he would just be standing out there smoking. I'm like, oh my God.
I think he was taking a pause break from a video game.
I don't know, but it was long. He just smoked. I'm like, imagine what your apartment smells like. That's what I thought of. This is where I think of.
He was smoking outside. He wasn't smoking in the apartment.
But he brings it in with his smokiness. So David finally came up to visit me. We're gonna skip and then we're gonna go back. But he did finally come up to visit me. Would you say that you were nervous, even though you didn't tell me you were nervous until like 2 years later?
Well, you could say I was nervous because I was at the Burbank Airport bar an hour and a half ahead of time, ordering 25-ounce beers. To not be so nervous to when I got to you, but.
Oh, yeah.
That was a shit show.
Oh, man. You want to talk about a shit show. I go to pick him up from the really cool airport that was like 7 minutes from my house. It would be like going to Burbank Airport, and you lived in Burbank. It was so great. And he was so drunk. And I was like, what the fuck? And not only that, I'm a planner. So I knew he was coming up to visit. I had planned the whole two and a half days down to every minute, because that's how I do things. And I've now changed my tune with this guy because there's no plan. He just flies by the seat of his pants. But I did not know this at the time. And I don't even like hockey, but I was like, we're going to go to a hockey game because I right there. We're going to go here and there. And that when I picked him up that Friday night, he was MC slammered. Then I take him to this sushi place where he proceeds to be even more slammered, just stupid drunk. And I was like, what is happening? And then I had just been, like, the month before, introduced to Fireball. at a work event, surprisingly. And I bought some because I was like, maybe he'll like Fireball, but not knowing that he was already freaking blasted. And then we drank Fireball shots because that sounded like a good idea for somebody.
Not a little.
No, a lot. And then the next day he was dead in the bed. He died. I woke up and I was like, okay, I'm going to let him sleep. And then I didn't even know if he was breathing. I was just like, this is the first time he's been up here and he was just dead. And then finally I had a banana and some vitamin water and I put it on the counter. I'm like, are you alive? And he's like, no, I'm dead. So we didn't get to go to the hockey game. We didn't get to go.
We didn't do much that day other than go to dinner that night.
And even then, he went back to sleep. When we got back home, he passed out again. I wouldn't say passed out. Oh, well, yeah, he did. He was done. And so the next morning, I'm like, are we doing this? Like, are we going to sleep all day again? He's like, no, I can feel my head, my eyeballs, everything. He was so drunk. I don't think I've ever seen him that drunk before.
Well, I don't think I've been that drunk in a long time.
Yeah. And then he told me he was nervous, which I didn't know why, because then you don't remember anything anyway. What were you nervous about? Did you remember even going to sushi?
I do.
Oh, yeah. It was really good.
I do. I remember going to sushi. I don't remember leaving sushi.
I probably had to carry you or drag you. I don't know.
But I do remember the day after we went to San Francisco.
We did. And I had planned a boat ride. And everyone, when I lived up there, everyone who would come to visit always wanted to go to Alcatraz. And I got to tell you, I can't even say Alcatraz without wanting to like punch the air because I went there so many times. I'm like, it's fine the first time, maybe one more time. I was like, but I didn't take him to Alcatraz, but I took him to the wharf, right? We went to Fisherman's Wharf.
Yeah,
We went on the boat around and then we went to this place that supposedly had good burgers. I don't eat burgers, but David does. I knew he did because I'm very considerate even now. And we had a good day.
We did. We had a blast.
We had a great day. It made up for the Saturday. Is that the day I made you breakfast, David?
Oh, that's the day you made me the broccoli slash
there was no
egg
broccoli
casserole with some beans and...
There was no beans.
She's like, do you want breakfast?
So I made an egg white scramble.
There was nothing white about any part of that scramble.
So apparently I put a whole green bell pepper and he's like, do we get eggs with this bell pepper? And I was mortified because we had just started. Like, I was like, you don't like my top of the line, like Guy Fieri cuisine.
If you know how spray butter comes out, if you could just imagine doing that with egg whites, that's about how much egg there was to the bell pepper.
You're such a liar, an embellisher. And there was no broccoli and there was not one bean face. There wasn't.
Green. Everything
he didn't
was
eat it.
Green.
He just kept pushing away. And then I gave him turkey bacon. He's like, what the fuck?
First off, you can't call turkey bacon. The fuck?
Exactly. That's what he said. He goes, turkey is not bacon. And then he's like, but this is good. And I was like, I don't feel that that's truthful. And then I look over and he's just pushing with the fork everything to the side and like maybe took a bite of turkey bacon. And he's like, it's not bacon, but fine, whatever. So then I took him for a burger and it made up for it, right?
It did. It did.
It really did.
It was a good little greasy spoon spot.
Yeah, it was good. And then another one of our adventures where we had never really traveled together besides, like, he came up to San Jose, like, big deal. I'll talk about a couple other things on the other end that are maybe not as exciting, but we decided, he had told me he had never been to New York.
Oh, yeah.
And so he has this friend, Bob, that we actually went to Village Christian. Village Christian, to me, is a giant pond. And everybody still is around the pond. Like, there's a few people that finally got out of this, you know, area or whatever. Village Christian was a school. It's a school in Sun Valley, kind of the Burbank-Sun Valley border. And it's a lifer school. If you went there, your you know, whole time. But it's, you know, preschool. So it's like 12th grade. And David still talks to some of his friends, and one of his friends is Bob, and he works in the, you know, in the entertainment industry. So he was doing, what does he do for them?
Special effects.
Special effects, yeah. So he was in New York, so he goes, oh my gosh, if we go to New York, I think Bob's in New York, and he was filming, like, Transformers.
Spider-Man.
Spider-Man, and he was
working nights.
He was working nights, and he's like, Bob said we could stay at his apartment that they put him up in. And I was like, that's great, because New York is super duper, New York City is super duper dippity duper expensive. And we were going to plan, and we made a plan. We got flights. David got talked to Bob. Bob was totally fine with it. He's like, I'm going to be working nights. We'll be gone during the day. He didn't care. It was, you know, this apartment was like on Fifth Avenue, like a Fifth Avenue and like something. I don't remember, but I want to say like Park Avenue and Fifth Avenue, even though they're probably parallel. But you know what I mean? Like totally not what I was picturing, like this high-rise building. Gorgeous view, like gorgeous views of like the city, just crazy. It was a very small, it was one bedroom. It didn't matter. We had an air mattress, whatever. And we got to do our stuff during the day. We were able to hang out with him a couple times, but we were so lucky because we had a really cool place to stay. Right, David?
Yes. It was very, very cool.
Okay.
It was very cool. It was on 46th Street.
I was close. I said Fifth, so I was right on it. I was just
40 away, but yeah.
Yeah, I was right there.
The one thing that was really cool about New York was we got to see Bob a couple times and go out and enjoy some beers and went and had some pizza one night.
Yeah, and he knew some kind of like cool, like, you know, kind of off the path, because David had never been. I don't really love like super touristy stuff. I like knowing like the small stuff. Times Square to me is one big toilet, and it smells like a toilet. There's so many people, and honestly, there's a fucking Olive Garden there. Like, I could see it. The lights, it's all cool that way. You want to see it, but he took us to like, well, where did he take us to?
We went to the Criff Dogs.
Yeah, he took David, or, you know, he's like, oh, go to this Criff Dogs, which...
It's a hot dog joint downstairs. You go down like 10 stairs and you enter. It's almost like you're going to a basement, and then there's a telephone booth over in the corner. And if you know the word, when you pick up the phone, the person on the other end answers. If you say the correct word, the little door opens up and you're now in a speakeasy.
Yeah, and it's like in the middle of like, or it's in the bottom basement. I mean, you would never in a million, jillion, billion years have thought... It was cool, but I don't eat hot dogs, but David said they were great.
They were great, and the odd thing about it is you literally walk down there with like your fist clutched because you don't know what you're going to go into. And when you think of New York and you think of like the subways and the shit of the shit, you kind of go in unexpectedly. But when I opened up the doors and you could smell the onions cooking and the bell peppers, which by the way, those bell peppers smelled good.
Oh. What? Are we back to the really delicious top-tiered omelet I made, or egg scramble? Thanks.
We'll call it a bell pepper scramble.
So we did that, and he took us. Where did he take us in Central Park? Whose headstone was it again?
We went to the Cleopatra's Needle monolith thing. We went to...
Wasn't it a famous person's, Bebop?
Or John Lennon?
Yeah, he's someone famous.
Strawberry Fields.
he's someone we know. Not personally, but we know. And yeah, he took us around, so that was cool. But we also did, you know, some of the touristy stuff. We went to Hell's Kitchen. We did all this stuff. It was really great.
Make sure that you carry a light rain jacket when you go to New York.
I did not carry a light rain jacket when we went to New York, so I had to borrow David's. It rained a few of the days. Not the whole day, but
The one day it was the whole day.
Yes.
Like, we went
and I had
soaking
nothing.
Wet.
Because, of course, I pack everything.
And she wears flip-flops everywhere.
I maybe wear flip-flops everywhere. And then I was trying to be really cool. So New York to me is very fucking stressful. And this was a while ago. I can only imagine what it is like now. You know, let's say 8 years. I haven't know how long I've been there. Probably about, well, maybe with you is the last time. So
2014?
Yeah. So like 10 years.
Oh, 11 years?
10 years, whatever. Anyways, it's very stressful. When you're crossing the street, you have to have like the secret of all the land to cross the street, because you see like the green go, but people start going on the red hand and they push you and they freaking go. And we were walking and I felt like very stressed out. And then I tripped because I'm not Grace is not my middle name. It's our daughter's middle name, but I am not graceful. And I tripped and I hurt my ankle and we had to go in Bob's freezer and get some peas or some...
Yeah, peas and carrots.
Peas and carrots because my ankle was all swollen and then it was raining and I didn't have a rain jacket, so I had to wear David's and he didn't... Did you have a rain jacket?
I did.
You packed an extra one?
I did.
Oh, because he packs smart sometimes.
But it wasn't even a rain jacket. It was a windbreaker.
Yeah, it was a windbreaker, but it held the rain. I think.
It held it all over my body.
Yeah, and then we went to the, was it the Marriott? And we went onto the whatever floor it was. And it's that floor, it's like turns.
Revolving. So
a revolving Marriott. And it was like dessert.
It's a revolving restaurant at the top of the.
Yeah, that's what I said. And then it was a dessert like buffet. And so you get to see 360 of the city, which was really great. And then it started raining and then you really couldn't see anything. But it was... We had such a great time. And then what was the name of the bar we went to? McKellen's?
McSorley's.
McSorley's.
Irish pub.
Irish pub. So it's the oldest bar. Yep. David, tell the story.
Oldest bar in New York. It's got Thomas Jefferson's wishbone up there. It's got Abraham Lincoln's hat and a chair that he sat on. A couple other, you know, old famous guys from back in the day.
So we walk in. And
light or dark.
So you walk in. So I'm not a huge beer drinker. I sound picky, but I'm not. But I'm not a huge beer drinker. So you just go in and the guy's like, light or dark. And I looked at David like, I don't know what that means. Is that like, I don't know. And then it's like a pint glass. So I just got light beer. And they give you two.
They give you two to make out. I mean, 16 ounces of a pint. They give you 2 8-ounce glasses.
Oh, okay. So anyways, they hand it to us. David gets his beer. We're standing there and it's packed. It's solid people. I cannot hear anything. And he's kind of starts chuckling. And he kind of starts chuckling to me. And I'm like, why are you laughing? And he's like, I've been holding something in all day. And then, of course, because this is our first trip together, we'd only really been together about 6 months. I'm like, oh my God, what? Like your mind just goes like, what? Like, do I have a booger in my nose? Do I? And I can't hear him. And he's holding his stupid 8-ounce pints, mixed towns. And he's laughing like he's about to right now. If you guys can't see him, but he's about to laugh. And he's like, I have to tell you something. And I'm like mortified internally. I'm playing it cool. Externally, I'm playing it cool. Internally, I'm dead. And he's like, go ahead.
Last night, he kind of farted on my leg.
That's what he said to me. He said, I farted on his leg. I wanted to die. I couldn't even get to the bathroom fast enough to go die. And he's laughing. And I'm like, no, I didn't. And he's like, you kind of did. And I've been holding it in all day because it was so funny. And I was like, I'm going to go to the bathroom. And I went in the bathroom and I texted my mom and I said, I told her what he said. And she goes, I wish I was a fly on the wall right now to see your reaction because I get embarrassed about stuff like that. And he was laughing hysterically. I'm like, I'm so embarrassed. He's like, why? It was hilarious.
I was laughing so hard while it happened.
Yeah. And we were on an air mattress in the thing. So maybe I just felt very comfortable. I don't know. I was sleeping.
Yeah.
And I died. I was so embarrassed. So like the rest of the time I was very embarrassed, but he said it wasn't embarrassing. But I just remember that's where he told me, in a place where I'm holding stupid beer.
And it was loud. I didn't want to yell it.
Yeah, he doesn't want to yell it. I can't hear him. So I'm like, what? And he's like, you farted on my leg. And I was like, what? And then he said it again, and I just died. I died. I put down my stupid beer, don't even drink. And it was
The problem is I couldn't figure out at what was the appropriate time to say something
but
like
I
that.
Was like, why would you even tell me that? Like, you could have gone to your deathbed with that.
If you don't know Jennifer is prim and proper when it comes to certain things.
All right.
There's other shit where shit just flies off the handle. But she is prim and proper. She is not one to, you know, walk down the aisleway at the grocery store and just let one rip.
Oh, God, no. Oh, God, no. Even just saying that, I'm uncomfortable.
So.
It was funny.
Trying to tell her without making her be super embarrassed or having her be super embarrassed or ruining the day that we had such a great day together. And I stuck around. I mean, I'm still here. She, you know, did that many, many years ago now. I still have the mark on my leg. But,
You ass. But we laugh. I mean, it's funny. And I actually, even though it was so embarrassing, honestly, it was very embarrassing for me. It was something that I think was kind of like our personality now. Like,
you didn't think it was a relief?
I didn't. No, you're so lame. I think that was something that I needed because I was always so like uptight about shit like that. And it was really funny. It is 100% not what I thought he was going to say to me. I really thought he was going to say something like, you've had something in your teeth, or maybe a booger flew and was on my cheek because it was raining. But no, he busted that one out, and I just morphed into butter and died in the bathroom. And the person I text was my mom, because she was like, I just wish I was there to see your face. And I think he told my mom when we got back, like, how fucking hilarious it was. Yeah, we had a good time. And that was something that was super embarrassing, but funny. Would you say that that was one of our favorite trips that we've done?
Oh, that was a great trip.
It was a good one, yeah.
I mean, we've had some good ones to Utah.
Yeah, we've had a lot of fun trips, but that one was just him and I, and just kind of like, he just trusted my planning. He's not a planner and he's not a morning person. You know how hard it is to like be like, hey, our flight's in a couple hours. Oh yeah, and when we flew into New York, we took a red eye on JetBlue, and David's like, I'm like, I can't sleep on a plane really good. So he gave me some like abracadabra medicine, and we went to the bar and had like a couple drinks before. And I literally, before we even took off, I was asleep. And when they told us we were landing is when I woke up, and it was perfect because I was really nervous because he can sleep standing up. But we land and we're starving because it's like 6 a.m. And I'm like, let's go to a cool like New York deli. Like, let's do that. And we're, let's go to this cool deli. And we go, and I'm always like, try to be very mindful of what I'm eating. So I don't want to eat like, you know, just junk. And I order, what did I order, David?
You ordered the vegetable breakfast platter.
Yeah. So he gets this delicious, greasy, like amazing, like hash browns and like
good omelet.
Goodness. Like it was so good looking. And I get some fucking piece of shit pile of vegetable because I'm like, well, we're going to eat really bad here. So let me start off the day with this crap. And I just remember I hate radishes, and there were radishes and they were black. They were black. They were rotten radishes.
They had one whole side of it was black. Like, they didn't see that side when they picked it up and washed it and then put it on her plate. Or they just rubbed it right
so
in
then
the
I'm
dirt.
Like, can I eat some of your breakfast? And we were like, he's like, you didn't even get like a fucking bagel. You didn't get anything good. And from that point on, I just said, never mind. I'm just going to eat the good stuff. Cause it was like carrots and like stupid shit. It was so stupid.
I don't think of onion as a breakfast. But there's like 3 slices of purple onion.
Yeah. Like, who's eating that?
I don't know.
I don't know. His was much better. Just so you know, don't get any veggie shit in a New York deli. Get the good stuff if you're ever traveling there. And also bring a raincoat if you ever go. Just a quick.
And go to Carnegie Deli.
Oh, yeah. We went to Carnegie Deli, and I'll tell you, the sandwich, we took a picture. It was like the size of our body. We each got a sandwich. It was like the size of our head and neck. And I ate half, barely.
Yeah, I think we took it back.
Yeah, it was so great. It was so good. But that's what you picture there. So we had a really good time. I think David had a really good time. Correct me if I'm wrong.
Oh, I had a blast.
Yeah. Okay, let's take a quick break. Click the like, subscribe, or follow button on any platform that you're using, and that will give you notifications when the next episode drops. Now back to the show. So there was, another trip I wanted to mention just because it's not that it was where we went. We wanted to go see a band at the Santa Barbara Bowl, and, I had never been there, and we stayed. That's where we went, right? Yeah. We were doing that. And I was like, we went to go see Fun. And I wanted to stay on State Street, but I just thought I had been in Santa Barbara so many times, but State Street, you walk around the certain area and, you know, it's by the, you know, off the beach, and there's all the shops and restaurants stuff, but it goes for a long, 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 long way.
Couple, 3 or 4 miles.
Yeah. I didn't realize how far back it went. So of course I'm like trying to look for this trip, or this room, and I find this place that's affordable for the weekend. And it was like Labor Day weekend, I think. And it was really off the beaten path. It was really far because I'm thinking we're just going to walk around everywhere.
It's by the on-ramp to the freeway.
Yeah, it's so far. And we get there and I don't even remember. It was the name of it was like the King's Inn or the King's Hotel. It was something I should have known. Do you know when you do things? So we get there and I'm kind of like, oh, this looks a little like not like the picture. And we go in and it literally looked like a Golden Girls, the house in Golden Girls. All of it was like gold and like
florally wallpaper.
Floral wallpaper and like gold freaking trimmed wood shit. And it was just
gold. Everything was gold accents.
And all this floral. It literally looked like the Golden Girls house. So we go in. I'm like, this isn't like any of the pictures. So I was already kind of like, well, that's not cool. The bathroom didn't work really good, like the shower. So David just ripped off the shower head. And then we were leaving one day and we're going down the stairs and he's like, be careful. Someone threw up on the staircase. And of course we were by the staircase. So then I just started crying and he was like, no, it's still a really fun trip. And I was like, this hotel is terrible.
But you forgot to mention that when we opened up the door to go into the bedroom for the first time or the room at the first time, you're like, it smells like farts.
I did. Yeah. Oh, yeah. It smelled. Oh, yeah. There was this terrible smell. Terrible. It smelled like broccoli was cooking for 7 years, and it was so terrible. And then I just looked at the furniture, and I'm like, this is none of what the website said. This is none of what, you know, Expedia's.
It's a bait and switch.
It was. And then the bathroom was really tiny, and it stunk like sewer. Like,
oh, that was the other thing. So the toilet was like 6.5 feet up off the ground, so that if you did have to go to the bathroom— you could go now and maybe hear something hit the water in a minute or two.
Oh, yeah. And the shower had no pressure. So I just heard him rip off the shower head and like toss it on the ground. And it was like rusty. It was just terrible. So that part was really gross. And then it was like, oh, there's throw up. But anyways, we went into the Santa Barbara Bowl and that was so fun. That was really great. And that part was fun, but I was so excited to plan. And when I plan something and it sucks, I really like take it to heart. And I was like crying. And he's like, it's totally fine. Like, I don't care. Like, I've slept on the ground before. And I was like, yeah, but the ground doesn't cost money. Like, this costs a lot of money. It was really gross. But we never really complained, I don't think.
No. Because I mean, we've had a couple shitty, stupid things with like the rental car for Utah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, there was a company that was yellow and it wasn't budget something rent a car. Anyways, we won't throw them under the bus, but it was a shit show. Almost 2.5 hours to get a car. And then the car that I actually rented wasn't the car that I actually got. And then they're trying to give me a stick shift Jetta.
Oh, yeah.
In Utah.
We went
in
winter.
The snow.
Yeah, we went.
And it's front wheel drive.
We went President's Day weekend. This is obviously before we had Charlotte because we were able to do like willy-nilly fun stuff. Now we do fun stuff, but it's all a little different. But yeah, they were trying to give him a stick shift. He's like, we're going through the fucking mountains, dude, to Park City. Like, are you kidding me? And it was expensive. It was more expensive. It was like one of those things where he actually did say something. I don't think anything happened, but we just don't. We're just not really like that, I guess, right?
No. But if you go to rent something and you expect that's the picture that you're going to get.
Yeah. We, so one of the things, and I don't know, I mean, I kind of want to mention this, but I don't know that I should mention it, that when we first started dating, I mean, we can cut it off if you're not comfortable with it, but, when we first started dating, so we had met at that restaurant and then I went back up to San Jose and he was in Burbank. It is his family business and he'll talk about that in a little bit. But we'd only been dating for probably, or when I say dating, I mean talking, just talking. I mean, I don't even know. We just kind of fell into a rhythm. But his dad passed away in the middle, in like 3 weeks in to us talking. And it was really weird. And I say that with love, but it was a weird thing because it's like I wanted to be there for you because I already know you. But at the same time, it's like we're just starting this like long distance thing. And it was just a really like I would say a kind of a weird dynamic to be thrown into. His dad passed away suddenly, you know, And that part was, do you think that that was a little hard? I mean, I didn't want to go.
It was, yes, unexpectedly. But prior to that, your uncle had passed away.
Yeah.
Right after your uncle passed away, I had my dog had passed away, who had a heart attack unexpectedly while I was out of town at a Broncos San Diego Chargers game. And then, yeah, my dad, you know.
Yeah, it was really strange. I
was supposed to go up there, or you were supposed to come down that weekend.
I was supposed to come down. I was the weekend that this happened. I used to work for one of the companies was Under Armour, and I was in Houston, and I was helping with the Houston Marathon. Under Armour was the sponsor. And he called me, and he had just taken his mom and dad. Your dad had never been to a Lake. He always wanted to go to a Laker Clipper game, right?
Yeah, it was a Clippers Magic
game. He always wanted to go to a basketball game or a Clippers game or something. Yeah,
or into Staples Center. He'd never been in a Staples Center.
Yeah, that was it. And David called me. He was so excited. And he was kind of texting me, oh my gosh, this was such a great present. Like, my dad's super excited. And he called me when he got home. He's like, hey, I'll talk to you later. I'm 2 hours ahead. I have to get up at, you know, the butt crack of dawn for this thing. And then he calls me right back and he's like, my mom just called, or somebody just called, and the ambulance is on the way. And sadly, his dad came home from the game and just had a heart attack and died. And I know that's, I don't want to be a downer, but I feel like it was a weird dynamic for us to start something, but I felt like it was like very close. It brought us a little closer. I was supposed to come down that weekend that this all kind of happened right after the marathon. And I was like, do I go with all these family flying in from Canada? Like, we weren't there yet. It was weird. I didn't want to be like, look at me. But at the same time, my heart was broken for him. And it was just, I don't know, it was kind of weird, but I feel like it brought us a little closer. Do you think that?
I do.
Do you really think that?
I do.
Yeah.
I also think, you know, you had your surgery on your nose, which was not that much longer, or not that long afterwards, right? Your deviated septum, which I diagnosed.
I had sinus surgery, butt munch, and they also did that while they were there.
Like I said, I diagnosed it. And
I mean, fine.
You know, sent her flowers.
He did, and a little bear that I still have.
And a little bear.
Yeah, in the middle of all of this.
I think that's the one she punches when she's mad at me.
I just punch you when I'm mad at you. What was really kind of back to our history, and obviously I'll keep going. I don't want to just, but my uncle was a big part when David was in my life as a youngin, like around fourth, fifth, sixth grade. He would come to our house. My mom and I lived with my uncle and my cousin, and my uncle was a big part of David, you know, just being around David. David knew him very well. My uncle absolutely adored David. And I have mentioned before, told me when I was 11 years old that I would marry David Sattell. And my uncle passed away that summer. I reconnected with David in December, and he died in August. And I always think about like how just he would just be so excited. He loved David. He talked about David all the time. I didn't even realize until really kind of diving in with our David and I's relationship is they would go play basketball. Didn't you guys go play basketball together? And like, you know, just they just hung out, and he went to family
UCLA stuff. Football games.
UCLA football games. We were big Bruins and all of that stuff. So I was heartbroken that David didn't get to, or my uncle didn't get to see that David and I had not only reconnected, but that we were in a relationship. And then, you know, obviously now we have this amazing daughter, and it was weird. And then his dad, unfortunately, I didn't even really get to meet him again, or like, you know, meet him again or see him, you know, and obviously, you know, all the factors that go with death and things like that, that are really kind of challenging. You know, Charlotte, he didn't get to meet this amazing little girl. My uncle didn't get to meet her. So there's some things that I think kind of connected David and I in a way that I think was very unique to our relationship and our history, that most people wouldn't know that my uncle hung out with David when I wasn't even around playing basketball when we were like 10, 11 years old. And here we are, not 10 or 11.
No, but it's like, once again, it's a small little world because my oldest friend on the face of the earth, Joshua, lived across the street from where you grew up at your uncle's house.
Mm, totally. So David's like oldest, bestest friend, he has a pretty big family, has like five siblings or four siblings. There's five of them. They lived on the street I lived on, Outland View Drive. They lived on that street back in the 80s when I moved there. Like, what are the chances? So when I meet Josh or I see Josh, when David and I started dating, he freaking lived on Outland View Drive, like a few houses down from my uncle. And that's David's like best friend in the whole world, his lifelong friend. It's like so crazy. And my cousin, at the time when they were like in third grade, with David, with all of Josh's family who are from Texas, they all went to Texas and my cousin went there and I moved out like a few months later. Like, it's so weird.
Yeah.
I forgot about that. I mean, I kind of forget. It's like our history.
You spent a month there.
Like, our history is weird. I mean, it's good. It's cool. But I kind of forget how woven it is in, like, different capacities, I guess. How did you feel when we moved in together when I decided I was going to leave San Jose, which I did not like living up Northern California, but I traveled all the time. And then when I was home, when David and I were dating, it was easier for me to come down. And plus, I didn't really know anyone up there. So it was really nice to hang out with him.
Plus, everything was down here anyways. All of your other friends.
Yeah, all my friends were down here. It was really, I traveled so much up there. I didn't realize like how lonely it was. But once I wasn't traveling as much, I was like, yeah, I'm not digging this. So, and then we said, do we want to move in together?
Yeah, well, you kind of stayed with Kim for a little while. And then
Yes, I did.
Stay with me over at my mom's. I moved back in with my mom after my dad passed. I was going through a divorce, and you said you found a couple houses. So we went out and looked with a real estate agent, and
yeah, David looked at a couple. I looked at 21. David looked at a couple. Most of us know a couple is like two, maybe a few is three or four.
I didn't want to waste my gas.
I didn't. I totally did. I wanted to.
Driving around.
How did you feel about when we were going to move in together?
Scared.
Yeah. Why were you scared?
Because
you thought I was going to fart on your leg?
We had never lived together, and I didn't know what was to be expected, but I think it all worked out.
I think it did, too. I think it did, too. And we got a puppy, right, pretty much within a couple months because we're like, well, if we get
Let's
a puppy.
See how this is going to go down.
If we get a puppy together and we don't kill each other or the puppy, maybe we should try to have kids if it goes that direction. And Penelope's still kicking. She's still here. She's 10 years old and she's still kicking. So she's alive. So that's all good. Charlotte's alive too.
Yeah.
We're alive. We did it.
We did it.
So I want to talk about a couple things that are very interesting. And a lot of people ask me this just in general, is how do I live with somebody who's not organized?
I am organized in my own way.
Okay.
It's not your way.
Sure.
Because you have your way of doing things.
Sure. But you are, so some people say they are collectors, which is sometimes true. I know you are a collector of stuff, a lot of stuff. But sometimes people say collectors, comma slash in the behind the curtain really is word for hoarder. Would you say that you have hoarder tendencies?
I would say that I have hoarder tendencies with work stuff.
Tools and shit.
Yes.
Yes.
Because you can never have enough screwdrivers or crescent wrenches or...
Yeah, you can. You can have one.
You know.
Yeah, and he also, for those of you that would not maybe know this tidbit of information, it's like generational hoarders of tools because his grandfather... was very, right? He was very...
Mechanic, yes.
Yes, tool-y. He was very tool-y.
And automotive, your dad... diesel mechanic.
Obviously, has started the business, which we're going to talk about in just a second, but started the vending business and the family business. And so he inherited his dad's. And then he had 10 jillion, billion, zillion. So now you have 20 jillion, billion, zillion. And then you... have 75 trillion billion zillion. So it's a lot of tools that no one needs. And so I would say you are a hoarder by far. Not only that, he'll save like old like peanut containers or like old coffee cans and put like screws in. And I'm like, I think you could just buy screws for like $5 and just have a fresh batch of screws. So, and you have just like half things of screws and like a little pile of screws on a table. And it just makes me want to rip all of my hair out and light it on fire. And they want to know how people always want to know, how do we not kill each other? Because I'm sure you want to kill me when I tell you that I want to kill you, because you're kind of a collector slash hoarder.
I don't know if you call the screws and stuff collecting. What that is that's moving on to the next project.
Okay.
Therefore, I don't have to go out and spend money to buy the stuff again because I already have it. I don't know. You just got rid of some bowls in the house and some plates, but yet I think they're the same color you replaced them with, just a little bit smaller. So we had bowls and stuff.
We had bowls, but these ones didn't have yuck in them.
Oh, they're a little more aesthetically pretty.
No,
you can't see the bottom of it when there's milk and cereal in it, honey.
We don't eat milk or cereal, but if we did, but you could see there was like, ugh. So I got new ones. Not everything. I don't think you should have to rebuy everything, but I think you should limit to yourself.
It's hardware and stuff. There's no point in throwing it away to go out and rebuy it.
Who said throw away? No one. Not one person said throw away. No one needs 1,000 hammers. No one needs 7 trillion of a bebops and a doobops. No one needs them.
But you know that they make more than one style of hammer.
He also collects, okay, guys, Dukes of Hazzard shit. He collects Fast and Furious stuff, Star Trek Wars.
A little bit of Star Wars.
A little bit of Star Wars. Which Charlotte, now you just introduced her to Star Wars, the movie and like the little guys and the machine, the airplane.
Millennium Falcon.
Yeah, the fucking. And he has a lot of Dodger stuff from back in the day. So we have a fourth bedroom that is his room, which I will tell you, you guys, it takes every ounce of my resistance of life. The door is usually closed for many reasons, and all of his clothes are in there, and then all of his shelves of shit, treasures, but then he has all
childhood,
this
Jennifer.
Shit all over the ground.
Childhood.
And I'm just like, why don't we just pick up the floor? Because every once in a while, I'd like to run a vacuum in here.
The problem is there's not enough space on the wall, so I have boxes of stuff on the ground because there's no other place to put it.
Yeah.
And it's not going to go in the garage because it's collectible.
It's collectible.
Collectible meaning
collecting
in the house.
Collecting dust. Oh,
no,
in the house.
Not collecting dust.
Not dust collector. They're dusty, though. You guys, they're dusty. I've seen them. I've put a glove to them, and they're dusty.
Then I guess you're not doing your job.
Oh, you mother fricker. My job of, you told me I can't go in there.
Oh, you can take a dust or two.
So could you, ass face. Okay. So how do you think, so we get along, even though we're very opposite in general.
Yes.
Would you say that we're very opposite in general?
Yes.
What would you say is the most opposite thing about us?
Our mornings.
Yeah, if you think.
Jennifer wakes up like a rooster cock-a-doodle-a-dooing every friggin' morning.
And I start
and
talking.
She gets going. And I don't.
At all.
At all. I am not a morning person. I never have. Well, I guess I was when I was younger. But I know you just got to get up and do it. I also go to bed a lot later than Jennifer does. And she's like, all you do is sleep. Yeah. Because I'm not doing it when you're doing it. That's why. So if you go to bed at 10 o'clock and I
do
go
not
to bed,
go to bed at 10 o'clock.
Okay. When you go to bed at 10, 15, 11 o'clock.
Like 12:02.
Okay.
And I get up at like with the roosters.
Yeah. That's why. Because you've had 6 hours or so to my 4 or my 3. That's why I'm tired.
I think that, what else do you think is our biggest, do you think the mornings is it?
Mornings? I mean, that's.
But his morning, guys, he finally starts functioning around, like if he, let's say he gets up at 9:30, which honestly is, I feel pretty early for him if he gets to sleep in. Like 12:31 is when he's finally like crusty.
This is on a Saturday or Sunday when we're not having to do anything.
Yeah, but we always have stuff to do.
Sometimes you just need a break.
True story. But it takes him like 4 hours to wake up.
Because during the week, it's hustle and bustle and let's get it done and get the kid to school and go drop her off and pick her up and do this and stop at the grocery store and go here and go there. Go back over to mom's house because that was forgotten, or go pick up this or drop my shit off at UPS or whatever it might have to be.
Sure.
It's hustle and bustle. Let's go. 5 days out of the week, usually. Even on a Saturday, too, because of running around with Charlotte.
Yeah,
or work.
She has a lot of stuff, too. It's, yeah, you're right. But you're not a morning person, and it makes me nuts. Like, I envision ripping your eyelashes out.
Okay.
But I won't do it because I love you. But I want to. Or when you say, I'm just laying here while snores are coming out of your mouth. I'm like, you're not just laying there. You're sleeping because you don't snore when you're awake. Apparently, I also snore. He told me too. He tells me when we started dating or when we started living together every once in a while, he's like, oh, it's so cute. Like once we had Charlotte, there's a baby bear snore. He's like, no more baby bear snores, Jennifer.
They're full-grown mama bear.
He says it's not all the time, though, but it's mortifying, and I just have to accept it because it is what it is.
I mean, your mom even tells you.
I mean, what does she know? She snores, too. So tell us about your family business.
1974, Dad started David's Vending Sales and Repair, selling new vending machines and repairing vending machines. Right up in about 1980 or so, started doing rentals for the studios. So a lot of times if you're watching a TV show or a movie or even a commercial and there's a vending machine in the background, like we're watching The Rookie right now, and we sold them a couple vending machines, and that's in the background.
Oh, by the way, people, he will stop to rewind to show you to then get Charlotte, if she's like asleep, probably wake her up to show her that the vending.
I do not.
This is the vending machine that was used and the time. And look at, this is Daddy's vending machine. Oh, Jennifer, look, did you see this vending machine? I'm like, David, you showed me 727 times. And he's like, now it's 720. It is exciting, though. It's cool. I think it's really cool.
Neat.
It is cool.
The vending business is a fascinating business. At the same point in time, it is a pain in the ass business. Because just when you thought everything was going straight and narrow, you get a coin jam, or you get a dollar bill jam, or you get some guy that calls me up that says, hey, how fast can you get here? I just locked my keys in my vending machine to my car.
Sounds like a you problem, buddy.
Yeah. Vending machines work 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. They do not sleep unless they're broken or you unplug them. So it is a constant go.
And you've been doing this?
Since I graduated high school in 1994.
Did you know it before, though? Did you do it a little bit before?
I did a little dabbled here and dabbled there, but my dad told me that I had to go out and get a job before I came into work to be the boss's son. So I worked at the Burbank YMCA.
And also?
Honey baked hams.
Which he's never eaten ham since. Which is good because I don't eat ham either, so we're all good.
Yeah, just odd and ends, just getting the feel for it. But I truly wanted to be as a stuntman. And my dad basically told me that if you go and get hurt, you're not going to be a stuntman anymore. And the likelihood of you getting hurt, knowing me, I stubbed my big toe getting out of the shower. So probably better I'm doing what I'm doing now.
You love it.
But I do have some friends that I play softball with that are stuntmen, and they're like, you could always do it. And I'm like, I can barely run to first base. What are you talking about?
He has to have a pinch runner when he goes. But he hits the ball great, but he's just not lightning.
Yeah, they're looking for lightning, and I'm more like thunder while I'm running.
You're not Brett Gardner. You're not him.
No. But then again, too, we also want speed so that we can get around the bases to get the point versus a cement truck going around the bases. They've got Ferraris that they set up now. So,
And you're the Pinto.
Yes.
But a very handsome Pinto. So you do that. But I feel like, do you feel like the business has evolved now with like reality TV and some of these shows? Wasn't it like a Housewives show that they were talking about? A lot of people want like a side hustle, and vending seems like to people's, I don't want to say naive eye, but maybe to the naive eye, they're like, oh, I can make money. I get vending machines and I just fill it with shit and I put it wherever, blah, 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 blah.
That's not reality.
And that's not reality. And you have to explain that to me sometimes too, because I'm like, you could have a vending machine at hotels. You could have vending machines in gyms. You could do all this. And you're like, it's not that easy. It's not that simple. And
everything costs. For instance, if you were up in the Valencia area now, if we wanted to go put a vending machine over at the mall, we're going to have to get a hold of management. They're going to ask for insurance. They're going to ask for rent on top of that. You got to figure out your price points of what you're going to put into it, because every Tom, Dick, and Harry has got Doritos and Coke in their machines. You got to stand out. You got to do something different. But the biggest thing is location, location, location. And you got to have something that people want. And if the market is saturated because every store has Coke in there, then you need to figure out what non-Coke or Pepsi or whatever it might need to be into the machine, or not even a drink at all. I mean, everyone's got an idea. Everyone's got
a million, but you've shot them all down for you, for us to do a business. He's pooped on them, you guys. Like, he's literally, all my dreams have been dashed of my really cool ideas. For vending machines.
They're an idea.
Yeah, but I don't think that they're just an idea. I've seen some shit in the malls and stuff in vending machines and stupid tchotchke little craps that people buy and they're stupid. And I was like, what if we go to a gym? And then with CBD or pot or whatever, you're like, no, you can't do that. It's like oversaturated. There's the stores that do it. I'm like, well, that's like huge here.
Yeah, but you can't just have it on the street.
Yeah, and then I'm like, well, I see ones where they have like cupcakes and then they have like, you know, champagne bottles in hotels and like fun stuff like that. And you're like, yeah, whatever. And so again, all my dreams, like a balloon that you let the helium out and just floats around until it dies.
But the stuff that you're talking about is like specialty stuff.
Yeah.
Right? You can't just stick a vending machine full of champagne outside of the studio here and expect.
Well, no shit. But if you go to the airport, they have like, you could do all the Apple, you know, so when you're getting on the plane, you have all the bebops that go on a plane that you forgot, the cords, the headphones, the pillows, that.
You're a day late, honey.
I know, but I said it when I wasn't a day late. Now I'm totally late.
Day late.
I mean, even like cosmetic.
Years late.
Well, I said it years ago, though. I probably said it in the time we were in New York, and apparently I tooted on your leg.
And someone probably overheard you and started it.
They didn't. I talk very quietly. No one heard me.
Right. No, but there's always ways to package things to get them into a machine. I mean, you don't really see it, but Campbell's soup cans, if anyone's out there eating the chicken noodle soup, you can stick those in a vending machine and still take it home and cook it. But you don't see it. You see it at the grocery store. You see it on the shelves. We're wearing headphones. I've seen headphones in machines.
Cables. I thought at a gym, you know, everybody's into like energy drinks and protein bars and stupid shit. And you forget your towel and you're like, yeah, I've already done that. I'm like, yeah, but not everywhere, right?
Anyways,
I think there's a niche for that. Don't you think? Like you have to find.
There's a niche for everything. It's just finding out where
and the money.
And the money to do it.
And the money to do it.
But most of these people, or most of the videos that you see on TikTok or YouTube or Twitter or Facebook Marketplace or whatever, when the people open up a dollar bill acceptor and they pull the money out and they start fanning themselves with it, like they just hit the cash cow, one of two things. They've staged that, or two, they haven't been there in 6.5 months and the machine's empty. Because that doesn't happen. I don't know anybody, and I've been in this business for now 32 years. I don't know anybody that is a full-fledged millionaire because of vending. They've got to have routes. They've got to have employees. They've got to have trucks. I don't mean a truck. I mean trucks. The largest vendor in California just sold to a big corporation that knows nothing about vending. So we're now waiting in limbo to see what's going to happen with that. But he took over the Las Vegas market and got Coca-Cola and Pepsi-Cola kicked out of 99.9% of hotels because he's going to do a better job than that, what they could do.
Oh, wow. Interesting.
Yes.
So I would say if people wanted to reach out to you, obviously they could do it through the podcast or go to davidsvending.com, right?
Davidsvendingsales.com.
Sales.com. See, I've never been to your website because I could just ask you, right?
Right.
Yeah. Which, by the way, I want to say one more thing about hoarding and collecting. His dad was also in that, I would say, hoarding, collecting category. Collecting is being very, very cool. Like, you're cool. I'm a collector. But a lot of it was just shit because he didn't want to throw anything away. And when you had to move your business, the building sold and they moved to another location, you realized how much shit your dad really had.
50 years and 4 months.
Yeah, 50 years of shit. And so when I go there, I don't go very often because I don't get anxiety with a lot of things. But when I go there, I am very itchy. I feel my skin repelling off of my body.
We are on a mission, Jennifer.
You're on a mission and you're wishing. yeah. So if anyone knows or if anyone's interested in vending, the world of vending, or needs vending machines for something that...
But it's not just new vending machines. We also do antiques.
Yeah. He restores antique machines. He has rentals. He does so many different things. But anyway, since if you're listening and you know somebody who knows somebody who knows somebody that was looking for that, because I feel like there's always somebody. A lot of my clients will ask me about his business.
Or if you just need answers and questions.
Yeah. Just reach out to me or reach out to David's
VendingSales.com.
But yeah, that's...
She'll put a link in the show notes.
There'll be absolutely a link because apparently I don't go to his website. I just ask him. I don't need to go to his website. He doesn't go to my website.
The hell I don't.
One time when I forced you...
Have you seen your reviews?
No. I don't
go
to
your website.
I should. Did you leave me a good one?
I mean, if you didn't know, I was your number one subscriber to this podcast.
I didn't know that.
I didn't. Should check your stuff out.
I should. You know, what's funny is when I did the started the podcast, he goes, "Wow, your voice sounds so great." That was the first thing he said. I was like, "I know," because I know. I said I didn't know that, but I'm like, really? Because it sounds to me like a yappy, like monkey, like a yippy dog. What I imagine a yippy dog sounding like.
Well, that's like go to the Yelp reviews.
What Yelp reviews?
Do you have any?
No, I'm not on Yelp.
How do you know?
I don't know. I don't go on Yelp. I don't go on anything.
See, I have a couple reviews on Yelp.
Oh, are they good or bad?
There's a couple bad ones and there's a couple good ones. The bad ones are just the ones that the people that you cannot help, that you think they think that you should be able to help them. And like, you know, bend over and do a back bend, which I will never, ever be able to do, but I should do that. And then a handstand right afterwards. Mm-hmm. That's why I got a bad review.
Yeah.
Because you literally can't make everybody happy. I can polish the biggest piece of shit, and it's still the biggest piece of shit. And the customers just don't understand that. Why he bought a $250 machine, and you can't get it working, it's probably why it was sold for $250, because you can't get it working.
Yeah, people sell the vending machines and they're like, I got this for like $200 and it's a pile of shit. And then the guy has to spend like $1,000 or more on the parts and pieces. And David's like, you could have just spent, you know, another couple $100 and had a brand new machine. Like, So it's kind of just people suck. I mean, people are just, they just have their own world. But I do want to tell this funny story and then we'll be wrapping up our extremely wonderful time together because I've been so excited to have David on the show because him and I are just hilarious. When David and I, we were doing long distance, we were doing our long distance relationship, a lot of phone calls, just a lot of talking. And there's actually kind of two stories, but one of them was, I was like, David, who's on your island?
Oh, Jesus.
You know, the infamous island that you get like a free pass on. So he's like, what? And it was like this like weird, like he had no fucking clue what I was talking about. I'm like, who's on your island? Like you're free. Like who's on your island? You go.
She didn't say who's on your free pass island.
I forgot to say the free pass part, but I was like, who's on your island? Because most people know like who's on your island. Like,
I wasn't playing that game. I didn't know.
He didn't know, guys. He didn't know. So he's thinking, he's like, I'm like, you know, on your island, like who's on your island? And I kept saying it because I thought this guy's got to know your island. You get like a free pass. Like I have an island of 10,000 people and he had none. And he's like, so he's thinking really, don't flip me off. He's thinking really, he's thinking really hard, really hard. Okay, guys. And he goes,
once again, I do not know where she's going with this.
And he's like, you know, I think Magic Johnson, because he's a really good humanitarian.
She didn't tell me what kind of island.
I don't know what fucking island he was thinking, but I died. I died and had to like revive myself to go, are you?
Well, I was thinking he was tall. He could grab coconuts.
No, no. It wasn't like that, though. It's not an island to survive.
See, I didn't know.
But it's like most people know. I mean, he's an exception to the rule. Sometimes David is like, you knock and no one's answering. But this one was so, because he thought for like good 2-3 minutes. And then he's like, Magic Johnson, because he's a really good humanitarian. And I'm like, I don't think this is the right island, or we need to stop talking. So then, okay, so after he thinks for a minute, he says, Kristen Bell, after he thinks for a minute. And this is like Veronica Mars before, we didn't even know about Frozen. We didn't have Charlotte. This is like, I guess Veronica Mars was the show she was on that I guess you knew of. And so cut to a few years ago, maybe,
mm-hmm.
I guess they did a reboot of this Veronica Mars and they used David's
shop.
Thank you. I couldn't think of the word. The shop to film the outside scenes. So he tells me, he's like, yeah, I don't even know. Like, I don't know what I'm going to be, how much I'm going to be involved. He needed to be there, obviously, to answer questions. I don't think they're actually going inside the shop because you probably couldn't walk in the shop. And they said, no.
They did.
They said, no, thank you. And anyways, they're outside. And then he sends me a picture with his arm around Kristen Bell. And he's like, this is my island, bitch, or something. And he's like, where's yours? I got no pictures of the island. And I'm like, damn it. No pictures with Jeter. No pictures with no Ryan Gosling.
The one cool thing about this business is you meet a facet of different people. I could be at the California Highway Patrol today and then this afternoon be over at a lead singer of a major band's house. And then tomorrow be at a high school and then be in the back alley somewhere fixing a cigarette machine in a dirty ass bar. I mean, it all just depends, but vending machines are everywhere.
But yeah, he goes to some really interesting places. He'll be like, oh.
Yeah, there's been a couple interesting clubs down in Hollywood that
he has bleach for his eyeballs.
Yes.
I've seen some things
that no man should ever see.
And he'll be like, I'm just here to fix the vending. Please
Can
don't
you
even
please
make eye contact.
Turn the lights on in here while I'm working. Thank you.
I'm gonna look at my shoes while I walk through here. But yeah, it's really interesting. It's an interesting world, and I'm sure David and I will have another conversation because I really enjoy this. So but we are going to wrap up, right?
Right.
We're wrapping up, honey.
We're wrapping it up.
But we'll do this again.
Okay.
Because it's very exciting. I like hearing David and I together with headphones on. It looks very professional. Because normally I think he turns his headphones off at home. So thank you so much for listening to another episode. And I look forward to next week's episode. Thank you. That's a wrap on today's episode of Unpacking with Jennifer. I hope you're walking away with a little inspiration and a few practical tips to make life at home just a little bit easier. If you love the episode, be sure to subscribe so you never miss a new one. And if you found it helpful, I'd love if you left a quick review. It helps more moms like us find the show. Let's keep the conversation going. You can find me on social media at Jennifer_Sattell for more organizing tips, behind-the-scenes moments, and a whole lot of real life. Until the next time, take a deep breath, give yourself some grace, and keep unpacking what matters most. This episode was engineered by Robert Altshuler. Music by Coldfire. Recorded and mixed at Command Recording Studios.